It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Kramer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Kalani.
Well, very interesting that as the nationalization talk continues here in the country, the government of Chile is taking steps to nationalize half of Anglo-Americans' Chilean assets.
No, this is the Codelco deal. I think there needs to be a howl of protest from South Africa. Mm. You know, Anglo-American is a South African-created entity. Mm. There are a lot of shareholders here. There are a lot of pension funds, provident funds, disadvantaged and advantaged South Africans in this. Mm. But what is happening with this Codelco deal? The state of Chile is flexing its muscle for national pride, because they're losing out on their status as the biggest copper miner in the world, and now they're seizing assets. They're using a document which was signed in 1978 with Exxon, a company that an American company that was developing assets in this area. But what has happened is Anglo-American has now gone into Chile. They've developed a lot of copper assets there, and they're just completing a rather large mine, the Los Bronces mine. And along comes this opportunism from the state-owned Codelco saying, you know, we're going to exercise this option and take half of your company's Chilean assets. So they'll take half, but not paying the full price. They are wanting to offer $6.5 billion when, you know, all the analysts look at this and say, look, that's not the value. You know, you're shortchanging this by about $3 billion. And then on the money that you give to Anglo, you're going to tax them by nearly $1 billion. So that's another big discount. Hmm. So, you know, it's a forced sale on a private sector company that has invested well in Chile. And this Los Bronces mine is neighbored by the state and Chile. So they're obviously looking over the fence, seeing how well this is developing. They're going to get that for nothing, because that has cost something like $3 billion to develop. Hmm. And if they get all these assets, which include smelters, they're going to do very well. And they're looking for cash to expand themselves, you see. And I don't think that they should do it in this way. I think it's very distasteful, because they're using their state ownership and their nationalization to actually seize these assets.
You say $3 billion, they're shortchanging them of $3 billion US dollars, and that in rand is
$20 billion.
And that's the money belonging to South Africans mainly.
Well, look, it's shareholders around the world. Mm. But you know that Anglo-American is very deeply involved here. Yeah, you know, we've this company was created here in 1917, and a lot of the investors here are our local pension funds and provident funds of all South Africans. And I think they're shortchanging us. I think our diplomats should be knocking on their door very hard.
Wow. All right, then, changing strides here. Construction is expected to begin next year on a new 12 billion rand rail line through neighboring Swaziland.
I must say, the new CEO of Transnet, Brian Malefi, he's already starting to make things happen. Now, we've always been complaining that the state-owned Transnet falls behind the private sector terminal, the coal terminal down at Richards Bay. Mm. Well, he's quickly reversed that situation. And there's now a stockpile, of course, down there, because he's getting so much coal down the line. Record volumes of coal, 1.6 million tons in September, and he's sustaining that. That should mean that he's up to 72 million tons. Now, this is very good for South Africa. He's now putting pressure on the private sector port. They used to put pressure on the public sector rail transport, and he's starting to reverse that. And it seems as though he's just set in place, you know, some basic things like arriving on time to collect, delivering on time, and this is working. So those performance targets are in place. But again, to relieve the issue in quite a macro way, he wants to build this diversion through Swaziland. So instead of the coal line being interrupted by general freight, this general freight will go through the Swaziland link. So he's now talking government to government with Swaziland and the state-owned rail authority in Swaziland. And the expectation now is that the construction will start on this new link, which will then more than match the port. And again, this is good for South Africa. You know, we've lost out so badly on not being able to export because of logistic inefficiency. And along comes Brian, and he's starting to sweep clean.
Quite interesting, because a couple of days ago, he also reported profits at Transnet. So it means the money is there. Now what you need to do is really just to implement.
Exactly. And he's taking the issues. You know, this coal line has been an issue. The manganese line now is another issue. The iron ore line is going very smoothly. A lot of people want to take the manganese down the iron ore line, which I think is quite a good idea. Brian is saying, no, right or wrong, I'm taking this to Port Elizabeth, Finnish and Clough. We're going to take it to Kuka. But of course, that's going to mean an investment because they're going to have to do a heavy haul line there to the port of Kuka.
Now, Martin, talk to us a little bit about this staggering 90 billion rand of foreign capital which is being invested in Mozambican mining projects.
You know, this is now a lost opportunity. South Africans have lost out here. The world has seen how valuable the coal assets are in neighboring Mozambique, particularly the Tet province. We used to be there before Frelimo, and we just lost out totally. In came the Brazilians. You know, they've invested very heavily in the coking coal side of it, particularly. That's very valuable coal. It's not like the coal that we take down to Richards Bay. That's thermal coal. What they're going to take to their ports there is coking coal. It's high-value stuff. And we know that, you know, the Australians do that in Queensland, and that's why that Queensland province is so rich. And so South Africans have been somnambulant while the Brazilians have come in to next door neighbors Mozambique, invested heavily. Rio Tinto, another huge enterprise in mining, is also investing heavily there. They've just taken over the Riversdale asset, and there are a lot of other peripheral miners. So this is going to be the second biggest coal exporter in Africa very soon after South Africa. And that is all through facilitating foreign investment, because they are building the rubber lines, they're building the ports, they're doing the mining, they're going to build the power stations because there's also thermal coal there. And it's not as if it's going to come down the line. Vale is already exporting that coal. So they're already planning phase two, and that is the Brazilian company. Rio Tinto say they're very comfortable to operate in Mozambique. What they're saying is that they're happy with the administration. You know, there's not a high risk for investment. And so we're seeing 20 companies going to go there next week on November the 9th. They're going in to work out how they can better serve Mozambique. So you can see how people flock in when there's an opportunity. South Africa's lost out on this Mozambican opportunity. The foreigners have come in. They've invested big. If you just look at the coal, it's about 61% of that 90 billion rand that's going in there. So and all the other commodities making up that 90 billion, as we get from Frost and Sullivan, the research department.
Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back again, of course, at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
It's a great pleasure, Clive.